Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I am Laura Jackson.
And I'm Amanda Quinn.
And we are pumped today because we are talking about one of my favorite topics, and that is nutrition.
Ooh, and veggies.
We love veggies. Don't jump off the podcast yet. You're going to hear some really awesome stuff. How are you today, Amanda?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. It's kind of that time of year. Fall is coming up soon, even though summer is ending, but it's, I don't know. I love fall because I love the food in fall.
Me too. I love like all like squash and rutabaga and all that stuff. It's so delish.
Yeah. And we're not talking the pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks.
I've never had one of those ever in my entire life. Oh. I've never even tasted coffee in my life, but like even those like flavored ones and stuff, like, I don't know. They just don't do anything for me.
Oh, I just love them. But we're going to talk about some other ways to get in your pumpkin today.
Yeah.
We actually have a question that was written in by one of our Fit Chicks, our boot camp chicks. Her name is Shannon. And because we were talking about veggies and getting more veggie intake. So she basically said, you know, I'm trying to get to eat more vegetables and get my family to, but I'm super busy. And then when it comes to mealtime, I just grab anything close. How can I make veggies more of a habit and get my kids into it too? So I thought that this was a really great question for us to cover, because I think that we all have these intentions to get more veggies in, and we all think we're eating enough vegetables. But when we really look at our foods, and if you looked at your food maybe even over a three-day span, how many vegetables are you really getting in?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, I mean, this is a great, yeah, it's a great question. Cause I mean, one of my things, I almost feel like sometimes I overdo my veggies. Do you ever feel that way sometimes? Like in the sense of when I'm making like a stir fry, or if I'm making like a spaghetti sauce or something like that, I put like every vegetable possible. Like I put broccoli, I put cauliflower, I put like every single vegetable in every sauce that I make. And I don't know why it's like, and sometimes it's almost like it's so much that I'm like over, like I can barely eat half of what I would normally eat because it's like so fibrous and so filling that I'm just like, oh.
But that's amazing. I think you're the anomaly, because most people, I call myself like a grocery store watcher, and I'm not judging. I just am always observant. So I'm like, I'll be in the line at the grocery store and I'll be checking out, you know, what the person in front of me has in their basket and what they're buying.
I think everybody does that.
Well, and the one thing I always notice, and there was a woman actually in front of me the other day, is how beige everything is. So, you know, because everything's packaged and processed. So, you know, on her cart, she had Eggo waffles, she had bread, she had packages of cereal, cans of juice, even for, you know, she had some frozen vegetables, but everything was pretty much beige. There was no fresh, there was no color, there was no life. And the weird thing I always do is I look at that, and then I look at the person's skin who's buying it. And because you can tell a lot about a person's health by, you know, the consistency of their hair, their skin, their nails. And a lot of times the people who are buying the beige food look very beige as well.
Interesting.
yeah. So next time you're at the grocery store, don't become Miss Judgy McJudgment, but just take a look at that. And then also look at your own basket and see how much you've got in there. And when it comes to vegetables, the thing is, it's so important, and not only because they're packed full of vitamins and minerals and all this stuff, but they're packed full of what's called phytonutrients. And they're the natural compounds that are found in plant foods. And they're what's responsible for giving your fruits and your vegetables that vibrant color. You know, so when you're looking at the beautiful, like purple in the squash, or you're looking at the red in the tomatoes, or, you know, the bright green of your lettuce, that's the phytonutrients. And the way I like to think of it is that color, those phytonutrients, those are power, like those are health power. So as you're eating it, you're basically taking that in because they're full of antioxidants. And antioxidants, not to get too scientific, but what they do is they help fight off free radicals, which do damage within your body and break down your cells. They help basically to kind of repair your cells and any of the damage that is happening. The more phytonutrients you have, the more antioxidants you have, the more reparation is going on in your body. So they've been shown to, you know, reduce all types of cancer, all types of heart disease, as well as they really help fight aging, which for women, we know that's a huge thing. They help hormonal balance and all of that stuff. So I just like to think of it, you know, simple way is when you're like, look for that color, because that's like health power. Like that is what is going to keep the wrinkles away. It's going to keep cancer away. It's going to give you that vibrancy of life. And that's really only found in plant-based foods.
No, that's an awesome tip. Definitely.
Okay, so now we've kind of talked about, you know, me being a grocery store stalker and why we love our veggies for the phytonutrients. Let's talk about how we can help Shannon to get more vegetables in. Because, like I said, she's not like you, Miss Amanda, who is awesome at throwing vegetables into everything. You know, she's probably busy coming home from work thinking, crap, I didn't make anything. Because vegetables, the thing with real whole foods is they do take preparation. You know, you can't just pop them out of the package in the microwave. So when you're busy and you're coming home from work, you grab the kids, a lot of times the last thing you want to be doing is chopping up stuff. So you kind of, you know what I mean? You end up throwing something in the microwave. So one of the things before I'm going to get into the top three, I always say is the most important is meal prep. You know, you've got to focus on preparing stuff in advance. And that could just even be chopping up vegetables on a Sunday, doing, you know, a full chop, keeping them in water in the fridge so you have them as grab and go once you get started into our tips.
I agree. It's totally a game changer. When you have fresh veggies that are already pre-cut and you know that, like, if I know I'm going to make a stir fry tonight and I already know that everything is just waiting in the fridge and I literally just have to grab handfuls of it and chuck it in, that saves me probably about like 15 minutes because I'm a slow cutter. So, you know, and if I'm like hungry, like I'm like, okay, my work day is done, I'm starving now and I can't wait to eat, I don't want to spend that extra 15 minutes cutting it. So having it already pre-cut, it just makes everything so much easier. Plus the other thing that I do, which you know, is I like make big amounts of things and then I basically portion it out. So I'll make a stir fry, but I'll make it enough for like an army and then I'll portion it out into small portions so that it's basically ready for me to go. And then all I have to do is throw it back in a wok, stir fry it up again for a couple minutes just to heat it up and then eat it. So now it's cut down my time even more. So both of those I think are amazing.
Completely. So once you have everything cut up, so okay, so these are kind of my top three ways to turn anyone into a veggie lover. I think, first of all, when it comes to any way of eating, is you have to kind of have a rule of thumb to do it. So one thing we talk about a lot at Fit Chicks is, you know, the complete in three rule, focus on having a protein, fiber, and fat at every meal because that balances blood sugar. Mm-hmm. But then I like to take it a little bit further when it comes to veggies. So one thing I recommend to a lot of people to do is make your veggies the leading lady of your plate, I like to call it. So, you know, a lot of times when we're planning a meal, think about it. You know, when you're planning a meal, you think, oh, I want to have chicken tonight, just say. So really the protein is the leading lady of your meal. The chicken is the leading lady. And then you plan your sides kind of around it.
Right. So
if you kind of get into the habit, even if you try this for a week, to switch your focus and make the veggie the focus, then it makes things, you're going to make sure that you get your veggies in and then it becomes the habit of, you know what I mean? Like trying different vegetables, having the vegetables be the bulk of the dish, and then picking a protein and a healthy fat to go along with it.
No, for sure. And I think, you know, and a fun way of doing that too is to even look, like, for example, we live in Ontario. But you know, if you look at what's in season, it might kind of give you a different approach to looking at your plate so that you could be like, okay, so what's in season right now? Maybe you go to local farmers markets or things like that. And you know, you're like, okay, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, pumpkins in season, peppers are in season, et cetera. So then it allows for you to kind of maybe try new veggies as well, right? Like to open up your, expand your horizons and kind of create something completely different. And then what I usually do is I'll take a veggie. So for example, with pumpkin, I don't use pumpkin very often. So then I would Google recipes about pumpkin and try to find something that I want to try to create. So then it becomes an exciting sort of like a little adventure.
Completely. And this is what I think is great, because like you said, we live in Ontario, but wherever you live, you know, if you Google, you know, what's in season in California, then it, most of the times the government or the local farmers, they will have a website that will show you exactly what's in season for every month of the year. And when you eat in season, you're not only going to get it cheaper, it's going to be more nutrient dense. You're going to support locally, which is massive, and it's going to taste so much better. And then, like you said, you know, for in the fall, things that are in season in Ontario are things like beets, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, pumpkin, peppers, radishes, so many options. And then Google a recipe that's the main focus, and then kind of use your meat as the complement. And this will also get you into eating less meat as well, because we do eat too much meat. We kind of forget that, you know, veggies do have protein in them as well. You know, they don't have as much as a meat dense source, but there are so many plant-based proteins out there. So you are still going to get your protein in. It's just going to come from more of a plant-based source as opposed to a meat-based source.
For sure.
And one thing I like to do too, so as you're kind of getting into this, using your veggies as your focus, I mean, this is great for your kids too. You know, if you kind of take them on the website, see what's in season, and you say, okay, today we're doing cauliflower. And then as a family, you know, figure out a meal around cauliflower. So they're starting to learn the vegetables too. Is, you know, using kind of a plate method. So looking at your dinner plate, divide it in half, and then make sure you're filling at least half of it with vegetables. You want to go for the lower starch vegetables. So those are the ones that are going to have less impact on blood sugar, which we're going to talk about a little bit more in a second. But putting it in half, and then with the lower starch veggies, and then on the other half of the plate, you're going to now split that half into half. So it's kind of like two quarters. One quarter is going to be protein. And then the last quarter, you're going to split that in half again. And that's going to be a healthy fat. And then, you know, something more fibrous or more of a starchy vegetable or a grain like quinoa. And that's going to help you really get a very good balanced meal by using your plate. And again, it's great for your kids to kind of teach them and play with them with food.
Definitely. And it's also really good, just to give you an idea too, for like serving sizes, right? Because I think that like a lot of times, even when we're thinking about serving sizes, like you can eat like veggies, especially if you're eating a low glycemic vegetable, like you can probably eat a lot more vegetables than you are eating. But we all tend to eat a lot more grains than we need. And we also tend to eat a lot more protein and meats than we actually need.
Well, yeah. And that's where, like, you know, even with my sister, I have twin nieces, and she always has, you know, cut up vegetables in the fridge as, you know, for meal prep, but she also has them in there for the kids. Like, they have free reign. She's like, if you're hungry, go in, grab some, whatever veggies you want. And she'll have like little pots of hummus or Greek yogurt dip she'll make. And that's kind of like, they can, whenever they're hungry, they can just go in and grab that stuff without asking. So they're constantly getting their veggies in, and then they're, you know what I mean, making it more of a habit of getting more vegetables and picking healthy snacks and things like that.
For sure.
But one thing just to say, so when, as we're talking about blood sugar, when it comes to your vegetables though, how you cook your vegetables will actually change the way it reacts in your body. So this is where, you know, there's a lot of back and forth in the nutrition world about raw versus cooked. My kind of way to go about it is to get a mix of both. But if you are cooking all of your vegetables, you might be, especially if you have blood sugar issues, you might be not doing more harm than good, but it's going to be affecting you in a less positive way. So like, for example, like carrots. When carrots are raw, they are a 20 on the glycemic index. So the glycemic index, it runs from 1 to 100, and it essentially just shows how much a carbohydrate, affects your blood sugar. And we want to keep our blood sugar, you know, lower and balanced. So one being it's very like, it doesn't affect blood sugar. 100 being like, it's going to spike blood sugar. So 100 would be like white sugar or bread. So you want to kind of eat things that are 55 and under. That's kind of the rule of thumb that they say. It's a little bit confusing, but it just kind of gives you an idea. But carrots, they are a 20 on the glycemic index when they're raw. But as soon as they're boiled or cooked, the starch, what ends up happening is the starch, it ends up gelatinizing. And that makes it, it's almost like it's pre-digested. So it's going to spike blood sugar more. And then that carrot that was a 20, the moment it's boiled, now has become a 50. So it's going to affect blood sugar more. So that's why I always say, you know, get that mix of the raw and the cooked, because it's not going to affect, you know, they affect the blood sugar differently. And also the nutrients, like a lot of times there's a lot of nutrients that are killed when things are cooked. So you're that way you make sure that you're getting the balance.
It's so crazy to me how quickly you can take a vegetable that you assume to be so, you know, that we've been taught like growing up, like, oh, carrots, they're good for your eyes and you should eat carrots. They're so good for you. And they are good for you. They're good for you for many different reasons, but to take something and that can, you know, completely transform just by cooking it and create such a difference in terms of your balance. And I find this stuff really fascinating.
Oh, me too. And that's why I always think, you know, even in our fitness and nutrition expert program during the nutrition portion, I talk a lot about my queen bee, which is Mother Nature. She's my girl for life. And Mother Nature, she's got it right. You know, when she made foods, she made them as perfect packages. Like, you know, a carrot, when it's got the skin on, when it's uncooked, it is the perfect package of food. It's if you eat it with the skin and raw, it's going to digest the way it's supposed to. But what's happened with humans is we start to change the structure of our foods. And that is, you know, something as simple as boiling is not as bad as the way we're, what we're really doing now, which is that high processing, refining, changing foods from their natural form, you know, making things like popcorn out of corn or turning, you know, potatoes into like those potato flakes, which you rehydrate to make potatoes again, which is
are they actually made out of real potatoes?
Yeah.
Potato flakes? Yeah. I didn't even know. I just thought they were just like a weird, I've never eaten them. I don't think. I think they're just, I always thought they were just made out of like a processed like chemical. I didn't even think there was real potato in there.
Yeah, they are. And, but that's the thing that's so crazy. You know, when you think about that, Mother Nature made this beautiful potato perfect. And what we did was we changed the entire structure of it, that it's still a potato, but the way our body doesn't know what to do with it, because now it's been boiled and gelatinized and heated and freeze dried and rehydrated. So suddenly that potato that was like nutrient dense and amazing now is completely wreaking havoc on our blood sugar, even though it's still a natural product, because it's still just made out of potatoes. So it's just kind of something that's interesting. You know, another thing too, that actually will change how a food is digested in your body, is if you cook it whole versus if you chop it up. So like if you're going to cook, let's say a potato, if you boil the whole potato in the skin and then chop it up, which will take longer, it's going to have less impact on blood sugar than if you chopped it up into pieces and boiled it.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, because the starch breaks down more and it's almost like it's pre-digesting.
Huh.
And that's what
I had no idea. I didn't know that, but I actually like potatoes boiled whole anyways. I think they taste better.
Well, yeah, and potatoes, they've gotten a really bad rap. But to me, I also think, you know, back when we were saying at the beginning about becoming, you know, focusing on the low starch veggies for Shannon or for anyone who's doing the plate by dividing it in half, and a low starch veggie would be things like broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, any of those cruciferous vegetables, lettuces, peppers aren't as high, but you know, things like beets, potatoes, sweet potatoes, Brussels sprouts are great, low glycemic, but potatoes, sweet potatoes, beets, those have a higher starch content. So those are going to be a higher glycemic. So you don't want to fill half your plate with potatoes or beets or something like that. They would be part of that little quarter.
Right.
Okay. So that was kind of a little tangent on the veggies, but again, don't shy away from any veggie. And that's where I do think that, you know, especially with the low carb diets and all of these things that have come out, there's a lot of veggies that have kind of gotten a bad rap. And I think that we need to kind of get out of that. We obviously don't want to, like I said, fill half the plate with a higher starch, but you don't want to shy away from them either, because they're so packed full of, you know, potassium, minerals, nutrients, antioxidants, phytonutrients. Like, there's so many things in there that we still want to get in.
Agreed.
Okay, number two, Miss Amanda, what are we talking about for number two to turn you into a veggie lover or to get more veggies in?
Number two is to swap your grains for greens. So we talk about this actually a lot as well, like at our retreats and in all of our classes, any of our tips, because I think this is something that is so easy to do. Well, it's easier than you think, I guess. It's not super easy, but it's definitely something that's easier than you think it is. And basically, you know, because we're such a carb heavy and processed food nation, and health food companies are not helping us because they keep coming out with like all these marketing ploys, and they basically try to make things sound super healthy, right? Like, here's your bread, and now it's like it's got like sprouts in it or things like that, and it's just, or it's
well, my favorite is the gluten free. Like, everything now that people just think because it says gluten free that it's healthy for you, but then it's like a highly processed corn product.
Yeah,
you know.
No, well, that's just it, and it's, you know, there's, I still remember grocery shopping with my husband when we first started dating, and I still remember going in and him holding stuff up to me and being like, yes or no, because he had no idea whether it was actually healthy or not, because, and he was holding up things that you would assume would probably be healthy. Like, you know, for the person who doesn't really have sort of this education or this background, you know, holding up a cereal that says whole grain and protein, you might think that you're making, and you are making a better choice if you choose that versus Lucky Charms, but you're still not, it's still sort of like this trick that's happening in the world, right? And so it's, I don't know. So sorry, but going back to swapping your greens for grains. So, you know, when you're thinking about that, the best thing to do is to get more veggies in, you want to take 3 meals per week and swap out your grains for greens. So you don't have to do it with everything. You can still have your grains. You can still have the, you know, the breads and things like that that you may enjoy. But out of 3 of those meals, try to swap it out with like using lettuce instead of bread for your sandwiches. Lightly steamed cabbage. You could be great for wrapping up fajitas, burritos. You can use Asian wraps, like anything that, you know, anything that you want, really, you can create using lettuce or some sort of form of lettuce. I like using the Boston lettuce leaves and doing like a ground chicken with veggies and then eating it in the, like, it's almost like a little cup because the Boston,
they're my favorite. Like,
but yeah, because they're like a little, they're almost like a little cup.
Well, the other thing
like
is
a little bowl.
Yeah, and you can also buy, you know, romaine lettuce is great too because it's long. So if you're going to do like fajitas, like iceberg lettuce is too light to usually do lettuce wraps. It's too crisp, like it breaks easy. But Boston lettuce, romaine lettuce is great. Cabbage is really great too, like Napa cabbage, like you're saying, like lightly steamed, so it's more pliable. Mm-hmm. But even when you're doing like a barbecue for, because I do this all the time because I also have a lot of friends who are either, you know, they don't eat gluten or they don't eat any, you know, they're lower carbohydrate or they don't eat processed foods because bread is still a processed food. So, you know, if I'm doing a barbecue or we're doing something like a buffet or whatever, I always put out lettuce wraps as an option. And it's insane how many people actually go for the lettuce wraps over the regular wraps, because a lot of times they don't even know to use it. They're like, oh, you can use this. Let me try this. And then they end up really liking it.
Definitely.
And it becomes fun too, especially with the kids when you have like, you know, you can pick your lettuce and make different stuff things. And I just think that's one of the greatest ways to, you know, if you could just even do that, like you said, you know, 3 times per week, if you just switch out your bread and your sandwich and add in a lettuce wrap, you're going to cut down on a lot of high glycemic carbohydrates, refined foods, and also get more veggies in.
Definitely. The other one that I really love is the spiralizer. So using a spiralizer, if you're not sure what that is, it's basically just like this little kitchen gadget that you can create noodles using different vegetables. So like with zucchini, butternut squash, pretty much anything, but I like it specifically for zucchini noodles. I love zucchini noodles because I love zucchini, but I don't love zucchini like just like boiled or something. I only like it grilled on a barbecue or spiralized. Only two ways I like it. I don't know why.
Well, and spiralizers now, they used to be so hard to find. You know, you had to go to a health food store.
Yeah, I got mine at Loblaws.
That's just it. Like now most, and for anyone from the States, Loblaws is like a grocery store here. But most Walmarts now have them. Costco has them. And they're not expensive. Like you can get them from anywhere between $14 to $30.
I think mine was only $30. And it's like, but it's such a great alternative to pasta. Because exactly. it gives you a lighter option, but it still tastes like it's still the texture and this, it still has that similar quality.
And if you have something to like, if you do have a major pasta lover in your family and you know, they're not going to swap
like out. My Italian husband.
Yeah. They're not going to swap out 100% for, you know, three times a week. You could just even spiralize zucchini and then mix it in with the regular pasta, because when you spiralize it, it becomes the shape of spaghetti noodles. So then you just mix it in. So you're still getting more veggies in with the pasta.
100%.
Other things I love too, to swap your greens for grains, is cauliflower. So cauliflower, because it's such a versatile vegetable, and you know, we all kind of, if you've had cauliflower as a child that's been cooked terribly, a lot of times you like shy away from it because it tastes like, I used to say like fart. So because it's the sulfur in it, it's so like, it's such a strong taste. You're like, ugh, so gross. But when you put in the food processor and you can basically turn it into rice. So you pulse it and it turns into a little tiny, it actually looks like rice. It takes 2 seconds. Well, probably 30 seconds in the food processor. And then you literally just stir fry it like you would rice. You could serve curry on top. You could do stir fry on top. I even have actually made homemade sushi and utilized the cauliflower instead of rice in sushi wraps.
Really?
Oh yeah. Cauliflower is amazing. You can also make pizza crust out of cauliflower. So I'll put the
recipe. I just didn't know about the sushi. That's interesting.
Yeah. So I'm going to put some recipes on the blog, but pizza crust out of cauliflower, like you can make an amazing pizza crust or pizza dipping fingers, and no one will really know, you know, it's obviously going to be a bit of a different texture, but no one's going to know that they're getting that many veggies in, and while having pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And one website I really like for different types of grain-free options, it's called ruled.me. It's actually a ketogenic diet website. So not saying diet to go on a diet, but diet is saying in a way of eating. And ketogenic, it's more low carb, higher fat. It's been a diet that's been around for a long time, but it's gotten a lot of press because it's been used to help epilepsy, a lot of neurological disorders, help with MS, all different things. Because it really focuses on, you know, all of those are to do with brain health. Anyways, I'm going off topic here, but I love this site because they do use a lot of different options for vegetables, using them as like, as we would, you know, grains. So it's kind of a really good way if you're not sure what to do. Like we started off saying, you know, lettuce wraps, spiralizers for noodles, cauliflower rice, pizza crust, even using portobello mushrooms as like pizza, burger buns, but ruled.me, they'll have a ton of other options. And most of them, they're pretty much all natural ingredients as well. And I love a high fat diet. Okay. So we have our turning your veggies into the leading lady of your plate. We have swapping your greens for grains. And these are ways to really just focus on making veggies a priority. Because like we said before, everything starts with mindset. And the last one to get more greens in is drinking your greens. And sorry, not even just greens, you're getting more veggies in is drinking your veggies. And I know that green smoothies became really popular a few years ago, but I still think most people aren't doing them. And I think it's one of the easiest ways, especially for kids or someone who is very anti-eating veggies, to get them into their diet. and they taste delicious.
Of course. No, it's probably one of the most effective ways that I've gotten people that I know that are in my life that don't like veggies, that are like, oh, gross, I don't like kale, that kind of thing, to drink it and to get it into their diets, because I'll make them like really yummy, delicious green smoothies, still staying on the green smoothie idea, so they're not becoming like a milkshake, but adding in some like veggies and some flax seeds and things like that, and giving them like so much more of a nutrient dense based drink as opposed to just them not having it at all. Right.
Well, and they're so good, especially for someone who's like Shannon, who is our question asker, who's a mom, a busy mom. You know, you can pre-make your smoothies in advance, put them in mason jars, you know, fill the mason jar with, you know, the greens, the, you know, frozen fruit, the flaxseed, like protein powder, everything you're going to literally just dump in the blender. So you have it pre-made, you just dump it in the blender in the morning, put, if you're going to use water or almond milk, coconut water, whatever as your liquid base, zip it up and then pour it back in the mason jar and take it with you to go. So it's such a fast way to make sure that you are getting that into your diet. And even for me, like I used to love green smoothies, and then I got into a habit where I got out of them. And I just started doing them over the last month. I have one every single day in the morning, and what a difference in my energy levels. Like one of my favorite ones that I do is because I try to add in spirulina. And if anyone's ever had spirulina, it's a green powder. It's made from algae. So it smells like fish food. It's not, it's gross.
Delicious.
Yeah, it's gross, but there's so many health benefits from it. So, you know, you can only put in about a quarter of a teaspoon, but you can really taste it. So one of the ways to mask it is by using really good quality cocoa powder. So the chocolate cocoa powder will mask a lot of flavors if you have someone who, who you're trying to sneak in spirulina, or you're trying to do, you know, certain stronger tasting veggies. If you do like add in any type of cocoa powder, it'll mask that flavor, which is a really good way to get people on them.
Now, Laura, what would you say? I mean, because for me, when we talk about green smoothies, one of my things was always that whenever I would have a green smoothie, for breakfast, I would always be hungry after, no matter how much I put into it, like even though they're very filling, but it was because getting over the mindset of that I didn't eat something. Like I'm very much like I had to like chew something and eat something in order to feel like I've actually felt satisfied. What would you say would be your recommendation for like, cause for me, what I did, just so our listeners know, what I did was I would have a green smoothie, but then I'd also have like a piece of fruit that I wouldn't have put in my green smoothie that I would eat, so that I kind of balanced out. Like I would still have all of the vegetables, and within the smoothie, I would have all of my nutrients that I was looking for, but then I would have to eat something. So I would usually have like a half a banana left over that I would kind of like cut up and eat so that I take away that mental. But what would you say? Is there anything else that you would recommend? Because I do know other people that deal with that same issue where they feel like they don't feel satisfied from it. It doesn't feel like a meal to them.
Well, I think have it with a meal. Like you can turn your smoothie into your meal. You can, you know, have it full with the protein, the fiber, the fat, because you want to balance that blood sugar. So if you just make your smoothie with, you know, fruit and some greens, and water, let's say, that's not going to taste very good, but let's say if that's what it is, then, you know, really there's nothing in there. Those are still carbohydrates. So they're not going to spike your blood sugar as much, but you need the protein and the fat to slow that down, slow down the digestion and to keep you full. So either you got to make sure that your green smoothie is a total full meal. So it's got, you know, either some sort of a protein powder in it. I actually even like to use beans in my smoothie. I know it sounds weird, but like white beans, they're also called navy beans, even though they're white, for any vanilla based, or I use black beans actually in chocolate based ones. They make a really nice texture and they hide very well, but those are full of fiber and they're full of protein. So they're also going to fill you up, or, you know, a whey protein, a vegan based protein. And then of course, like a healthy fat. So either balancing them out to fill you up, or, you know, having a smaller portion and then having it with your breakfast. Like if you're going to have it with eggs, like eat your eggs, but drink your green smoothie too. You know, like you can always have it with food. It's not as if it's a bad thing to have it with some food. You might just want to have a smaller portion of it. But I always think of it as a way of just getting more veggies in. Like, it's such a great way, like, and not even just the greens, like, it's such a focus on greens because greens have so many amazing properties to them, but you can also do smoothies with other vegetables. Like, you could do beets. You could put grated carrots in. I've made a carrot cake smoothie before that was amazing. Avocado, even though it's a fruit, but avocado is an amazing healthy fat that can also go into your smoothies. So there's a lot of other things that you can get in there, but, you know, try just to open up your mind. And we have recipes on our blog, fitchicks.com/blog. We have a lot of green smoothie recipes on there. We also have a green smoothie guide on our website, to make sure that you're making them balanced and you're making delicious ones. Because if you make a bad one, you're kind of turned off for a while.
There's nothing worse than a bad green smoothie.
I know. So that kind of sums up our three top tips of getting more. Well, actually, we kind of went to four. So for Shannon, hopefully this helps to be able to get more veggies into your life and into your kids' life. So number one is always to make sure you're meal prepping in advance. So if you don't have things prepped, it's so easy just to not make anything. Number two is to make your veggies the leading lady of your plate. So we talked about dividing your plate up. So half of it being vegetables, then that other half you're going to divide into. You're going to have one side protein. Then the last quadrant you're going to have split in two as well with a healthy fat and maybe a more fibrous, a starchy vegetable or a grain like quinoa. Then we talked about swapping your greens for grains, which is such a great mental state to kind of get into. So when you're thinking about making your, you know, your wrap, think about, I'm going to do it in less wraps, or I'm going to do spiralized zucchini as opposed to any type of grain. And then lastly, we talked about drinking your veggies. So that's things like green smoothies, juices, just getting more veggies in that you might not have to actually eat. So those are our top, I guess, now four tips. Amanda, what's your main takeaway from today?
I think my main takeaway would be just to look at all of these different examples that we've provided you and try at least one thing from each of the different categories. So try to drink your veggies, like just try a different recipe, find one online that you think sounds really interesting. Experimenting with like spiralizing or with using cauliflower as like a substitute for pizza dough or things like that. You know, prepping, meal prepping. I think that's not even like a try. I think that should just be like a, just go for it. Just do it. Pre-cut your veggies. It'll save you time and you will be so grateful you did. And then of course, making the veggies your focus, you know, try different recipes, try different vegetables that you've never tried before. Like really just, I guess, looking at all the different tips and kind of experiment and do that with your kids, Shannon, because I think for you specifically, you're saying, you know, you want it to get into a habit for yourself and for your kids. And I think by doing this together as a unit, it will help you kind of figure out what's going to work, what's going to stick, and what's maybe not working so much or not vibing so much with you and your family. And then you can try something different, but at least try one thing from each of it. Don't overwhelm yourself with trying to do it all at once, but just try different things so that you can really experiment and play around.
Well, and that kind of goes into my I have two major takeaways from today. Number one, like you said, it's about getting the kids involved. Kids are not learning about nutrition in school. It is our responsibility as parents, as aunts, as grandparents to teach them. And kids, the more involved they get in the process, the more likely they're going to be to adapt those habits. So, you know, whether it be you're going online to find out what's in season or you're picking out stuff together at the grocery store, like involve them in the conversation, not just like these are the veggies we're eating and just eat them, you know, like it becomes, that's how you build the habits and build the knowledge. And then my second takeaway is out of, you know, all of these tips, just make sure though that you are eating the rainbow, because every single vegetable, which they're all amazing, they all have different structures of vitamins and minerals and fiber and phytonutrients. So if you're just, you know, if you like spinach, let's say, and you just eat spinach every day, you're missing out on a lot of the value of the other vegetables. So, and also these vegetables interact differently together. That's why it's, you know, we always want to make sure that we're switching things up because you get the benefits from all different things and they balance each other out. So by eating the rainbow, and you know, you probably heard this before, but switching up your veggies, eating different colors, then you're going to make sure that you're getting all of those in. Okay, so with that, I hope you enjoyed today. You got some awesome information about, even if you are not a veggie lover, that you might be trying it, and some tips to make your family eat more vegetables. And also maybe just, you know, an awesome, some awesome info that you could take moving forward. But if you need anything else, or you want some great recipes, you can check out our blog, fitchicks.ca/blog. We also have our Facebook page, our Instagram, our Twitter at fitchicks. And you can always email us your questions too at info@fitchicks.ca. Lastly, I just want to say as well, we also, if you love any of the stuff that we talked about today, we also have our Fitness and Nutrition Expert program coming up, which is a 12-week online certification program. So you can join us from wherever you are. And one of the major modules in it is nutrition. So we talk about all of this stuff. We talk about glycemic index. We talk about blood sugar management, building programs, how to eat balanced, how to coach in it. So even if you want to coach or not, it's a ton of great info for you and your family. And you can get more information on that program at fitchicksacademy.com. Okay, Ms. Amanda, what are you grateful for today? Putting you on the spot.
You totally are. Sorry. What am I grateful for today? Maybe I'm grateful for Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
Because we've been talking about them, and it's kind of making me think about them now. And I'm like, I think I have to go to the grocery store. To be honest, I'm actually just really grateful that I was able to, as I grew up, I was able to like expand my own palate. Like if I'm thinking about it from a gratefulness of what we were talking about, like growing up, we ate canned vegetables. That was it. It was like canned peas, canned corn. That was it. That's all I ever experienced till I was 16 and I moved out, and I never ate any other vegetable besides that. And I didn't like either of those because I didn't like how soggy and gross they were from cans.
They're pretty bad.
So for me, having, you know, I'm grateful that I was actually able to like try new things and that I actually enjoy these things and I really love vegetables, and it allows for me this kind of eating and this kind of lifestyle to become a lot easier for me and hopefully for my family as we expand.
Well, and I'm grateful today for my girl, Mother Nature. And I think that, I know I talked about it earlier, but I do think that, you know, a lot of times we're trying to fight the natural rhythm of life, and she always knows best. She knows when it's time to rain. She knows when it's time not to. She knows what vegetables need to be in season. She knows what nutrients we need during those seasons, and that's why she makes those vegetables. So, yeah, just follow her rhythm. Look at what she's, you know, doing during this time. Like, you know, we were talking about it being the fall and what vegetables are in season, but I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for her and her knowledge and sharing it with us. Okay. Well, we're going to end it there. So have a wonderful day, everybody. Eat your veggies
and drink them
or drink them. And we will talk to you soon.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.